You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Rebecca Rivas, and Rebecca is directing the latest production by the theater and dance department here on campus, Electricidad, which means electricity. And we're going to talk a little bit about this play and what it's about. But first of all, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. And if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about how you got interested in teaching acting.
Yeah, I teach voice and movement as well as acting at the university. I went to graduate school and was always kind of thinking that I would never want to teach. And then I started teaching and I fell in love with it and I've been doing it ever since. So,
when you talk about voice and movement, mm-hmm. can you explain that to us? It's the sound, it's the acting, incredible actors and the sound effects, of course, the Foley's. But when you talk about movement, can you explain that?
Sure. What I teach is basically giving the students tips and guiding them toward an efficient use of their voice and their body. As actors, that's their instrument, really, just like a musician, that's their guitar or the musical instrument, or painters, their paints and their brushes, the actor, what they have to use their body and their voice to their best advantage, and that means changing it. That means taking something that is, you know, seems to just be one way, your posture, the timbre of your voice, and then being able to manipulate it in a healthy way to become different people. But always, of course, rooted in themselves so that it rings true to the audience.
Okay, you and I are having a conversation right now. Mm-hmm. How do we bring that instrument out, that melody? Because I tell my students, each one of you here is an instrument. We have an orchestra here, and of course, everybody has a different sound. And it's not until we bring it all together that melody develops. So, you and I talking here, how would you say that you would bring out a sound, or is it different in having a conversation as opposed to acting?
It's not that different. I mean, when you're on stage, you have to project, and of course that's done with breath support and placing the voice. And it's just... What I want my students to do or teach them to do is use that throughout the day so that their voice is always sitting on the breath, or not sitting, but on the sound is on the breath. So, for instance, a lot of times now we have kind of this glottal fry, which is kind of this Kim Kardashian, nobody uses breath, and they sound like this all the time. And that's kind of gotten itself into just the way everyone speaks right now. So it's kind of teaching students how to breathe, that the sound they make is with the air they take in and allow out.
And it brings back an example that I saw in a documentary once where the director is talking to Marlon Brando and he's talking to him about a scene on the waterfront, mm-hmm. the scene about, I could have been a contender.
Uh-huh.
And he's going, I can't do it. I can't do it. He's my brother or whatever. And he goes, act that, be that way. So you and I are talking and you tell one of your students, I want you to read this, but read it in the voice of a 7-year-old man. They're going to say, I'm 22. I don't know what a 7-year-old man sounds like.
Well, I mean, it all starts from using their voice, you know, and then finding ways of creating an age. Perhaps it's taking more time. Usually when we're younger, we speak quickly. As we get older, we take time with our thoughts. And so it's a little more drawn out. Also, just do I speak? If I have a very high voice, perhaps now bringing it into a lower register would help give my character that age.
So you're saying it's okay to experiment?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And they have to so that – because not every character is going to sound like me and my voice, you know. I think a great example is, you know, on Lincoln and Daniel Day-Lewis'
yes.
work with the voice there that we've heard so much about. But it all starts with his voice. He doesn't create kind of a caricature voice, you know. It starts with – his own, and then he chooses to give it different qualities.
I could spend half an hour, I could spend an hour talking to you about this, and perhaps we'll bring you back, Rebecca, but we need to move on and talk about your production.
Yes.
that begins on March 13th, Electricidad. Tell us about this.
Well, it's basically what it is. It's a Greek play, the Electra tragedy, Sophocles. His version of the Electra tragedy. And what Luis Alfaro has done, our playwright, is he has put it into the world of East L.A. So it's the structure is the same as the Electra tragedy, the story of a daughter seeking revenge against her mother for the murder of her father. But it is now set on the streets of
LA.
East L.A.
Mm-hmm. Now, because it's based on a sort of Greek tragedy, what can people expect? Because, you know, once you say Greek tragedy or Shakespeare, you know, any of those names, some people are going, I'm not into those kind of plays. I don't understand them. So for people who may never have been to a play because of those reasons, mm-hmm. what would you say to encourage them?
Oh, that it is not, the language is not that of a Shakespeare or of a Greek tragedy. It is very much a modern, contemporary, piece of theater, which is the trouble with saying Greek or Shakespeare and labeling it these ways. And Electricidad also has another label. It's also Chicano theater. Immediately, I think that gives it certain, or that comes with certain implications of, you know, oh, it's just going to be preaching to me about Chicano rights and all of that. And this play really is just a great mixing of the structure of the play. I mean, truly just the plot points of the play, of a Greek play. And then it infuses it with with Chicano culture, and so there's a lot of humor. It's easy to understand. I mean, you have characters that, for me, remind me of people I know, and it just gives you a great ride. So it's not what I think one may equate with Greek theater, because it's definitely not that. And it's not what one would equate with Chicano theater either. It really doesn't get on a soapbox.
I'm glad you brought that up, because mm-hmm. some people are gonna be saying, well, you know, I'm not really into Chicano theater mm-hmm. either, or Chicano rights, Chicano movement. But you just said it's not a soapbox.
No, it doesn't get on its soapbox. You know, it really... Luis Alfaro does a beautiful, beautiful job of making it kind of a seamless weaving of these themes and into the lives of these characters. And so what you're watching is these relationships changing. You're watching this girl strive for something, and you laugh in between. You may cry in between. I'm not sure. But it certainly has a message for us. But I don't think it's anything that's going to make you feel as though you're being preached to.
Rebecca, does it also, in a way, perhaps break stereotypes? Because sometimes when you hear the word chola or mm-hmm. cholo or Chicano activists, anything like that, or even what, where it says that it takes place in, you know, the world of East L.A., people who may not even have ever been to East L.A., they already have stereotypes of what those neighborhoods look like.
Oh, definitely. I think it does for me. I think you see them as people and not necessarily the stereotype, this or the a stock character. You see a woman, a mother, struggling with the relationship she has with her daughter. You don't see a chola, two cholas fighting. It's he really gives each of these characters. They're all three dimensional. They all have hearts just like our own, and I think they're really easy to identify with.
Is this something that people might be able to identify a little bit better with also as far as the grieving goes?
It's definitely, it really does deal with grief not in a melodramatic way, but it certainly touches on the subject, and she, I mean, that's what she's dealing with is deep seated grief. And I think to the point about the violence, I think this they live in a world that is not, you know, the safe streets of you know, El Paso, and you know, that's arguable, you know, some of the streets in El Paso are not as safe, but they definitely live in a world where people are, you know, they carry guns. Death is just part of life. And I think if you look into the culture of the gang world of East LA or any of those neighborhoods, in these big cities and even in our own, you'll see that they have a different understanding of what the future brings or if there's a future. And these characters live in that world. So I think there is, you know, a parallel there between what people have been dealing with, just knowing that at any moment violence can break out.
Rebecca, if you don't mind telling us when the play opens, what the times are, and where it's going to be.
Sure. It opens on the 13th, and we run 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Our performances are at 8 p.m. in the Studio Theater on the first floor of the Fox Fine Arts Center. And we also have a matinee on March 17th, Sunday at 2:30, as well as an evening performance that Sunday on the 17th at 7 p.m.
A couple of questions I have to ask is approximately how long is the play, and also is it appropriate to bring children?
I would say it's an 18 and older production. There is adult language and some violence. And
is the play in English and in Spanish?
It's in English and in Spanish, yes. For the most part, English, but there is Spanish in there. It's running about 2 hours with intermission. It's for all the talk of, you know, darkness and violence and all of these things, it's actually a really, really funny play, you know, where you see, because of the structure, they have there's a Greek chorus. But the Greek chorus is actually three women, and they call them the vecinas. And, you know, the whole time they're just, you know, there's chisme, and they sound like women in my family, you know. And I think they sound like women in a lot of people's families here in El Paso. And, you know, it's going to be infused with the music of, you know, of the old, we're going to have oldies playing, and It's a familiar story, and I think it's a good ride to take.
Rebecca, we want to thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Professor Rebecca Rivas. She is directing the play Electricidad, which will open on March 13th through the 16th, and then with matinee performances on the 17th, and also at 7 p.m. on the 17th. If you need additional information, you can call 747-5118. That's 747-5118. Rebecca, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Elvin Elvis. Our thanks to our producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Science.